Hey, everyone. Welcome to the House Church Podcast. This is Pastor Jamie here. I'm so glad you decided to join us for today's broadcast. Every time we come together as a church, people encounter God. So my prayer is that you too would experience His presence and hear His voice for yourself. Please enjoy today's message.
I am in the midst of what we would call a series, I guess. If you've been around the house very long, you know that the idea of me even preaching the same sermon twice in a row is hilarious. You guys are in 9 a.m. service, and I do my best to kind of work through the notes, but really, I'm just working out the kinks. The real service happens at 11. You should just hang out, come through. No, it's so funny, though. People will say to me, man, Pastor Jamie, I listened online at 9 a.m. and then I came at 11. They're different sermons. I'm like, yep. But that's not on purpose. I'm trying. I really am. But a series is the same way. Like, I give it my best shot to try to, like, stay on topic. It never happens. It's okay. But this one, I have managed now for, like, 3 or 4 weeks. 3 weeks is 4 weeks. I don't know. Whatever it is. To talk on the same subject. And so today, we're going to continue the conversation on creativity and wisdom. Now, before you applause to that, this point, the purpose of us doing this, okay, is to lay a foundation because of what we believe the Lord is about to do. And at the house, we have gone through ebbs and flows of productivity. Like, we're out there doing stuff, and we're in the marketplace, and we're in the mission field, and, you know, the house church has been to so many different nations. Like, seriously, church, we tallied it up one time. I think in total, the house has been to over 60 nations, 60 nations, doing ministry. That's who you are. This is us. You know, not just official groups going. This is us as a community. We're out there doing the stuff. And it's so amazing. There have been seasons where we're pushing the edge, the envelope. We're taking ground. We're doing new things, and we're out there just in the fields of harvest. So amazing. But how many know that there are seasons to harvesting? Like, when the harvest has come in, you need to plow the field under in preparation for the next season. We know that there are times where you let the field rest, not just for recovery, but for nutrients' sake, for the reality of bearing good fruit in the next harvesting season. You allow the field to go through this process. It matters. Now, all that to say, church, we have had that sort of forced reprieve coming from 2020, where the whole world shut down, and there's this reset that began to take place. That reset has brought forth many changes to the church world. Prior to that, you know, the closing of gatherings, and prior to that, there's lots of people who do, like, cameras and video work and put stuff online. You know, that was happening before this. But after that moment, people realize that if you don't create access digitally, then there's a detriment to that. Like, this is where the world has gone. And so you begin to see, like, every church is broadcasting. Anybody? Like, for real, like, you can go on and find, like, any congregation, just look one up. Somebody set up a camera and they're broadcasting on their website or YouTube or whatever, you know, format. But that's a change. The gospel went from in rooms and you had to be present to anyone in the world can access at any time. We have watched metamorphosis take place where you have seen the reaction of society where we all shrunk back and then we're all trying to go back out there and drive. Anybody notice that the past 3 years is the worst drivers surrounding you that you have ever experienced? Anybody? No? Jeannie? Jeannie, you and I evidently are the only good drivers out there. Listen, lots of change has taken place, is all I'm saying, okay? some of this was intended and some of this is just response to where the world is at right now. But what we recognized in spirit is that every single time the house church begins to say to the Lord, Jesus, we're ready to sow our lives, we're ready to take new ground, that creativity begins to flow powerfully. So we've been laying a foundation of creativity and wisdom, because how many know that creativity and wisdom are partners? Scripture says that in the very beginning that the Lord partnered with wisdom as an architect to bring creation into order. That wisdom and creativity go hand in hand. You can't have, frankly, one without the other. They partner together to produce something, you know, new, innovative. The moment that we're in right now, we have summarized and looked at the past and said, there's so many wonderful things, let's bring those wonderful things forward. There was a divine reset, and now we have the opportunity. What are we going to do with our future? What seed are you going to plant in the ground right now that 5, 10, even 20 years from now, there will be a harvest? What intended things are you initiating right now that will not come to fruition for years? What do you want? I ask this question of students and interns, our staff, quite a bit, actually. I ask them, what do you want, like, 10 years from now to look like? What is the return that you want to see? Do we want to see more people saved? Do we want to see, I don't know, we ask the question in hopes that the imagination will engage the future. And when we begin to do that, when you begin to envision the future, dream about the future, this is what I would like to see happen, inevitably it creates this opportunity. It's blank ground. You're going to have to do something intentional to get there. There's a gap from where you're at to where you want to go. And that gap requires you beginning intentionally to sow things that will eventually bear fruit. You want to become a doctor? Praise God. We need some godly physicians out there. You want to become, you know, a college professor? You want to impact that the university system? Praise God. We could use some godly professors. Anybody interested in seeing the judicial system reformed and that justice would have a track record that is in line with righteousness? Anybody? Is anybody interested in seeing the marketplace not be self-serving, where the monster of the organization eats the creative artist? You know, there's things that we hope will change, that we want to see change. I don't know, I can't tell if I'm talking to the right audience or not. Where are you at? Tad, thank you. Tad, will you come sit right here so I can talk to you? The stuff that you want to see happen in the future, the outcomes, y'all, you got to put a seed in the ground. I heard someone say once, you know, that they're waiting for their ship to come in. You ever heard that? Waiting for my ship to come in, brother. What's my next question? Did you send one out? Why are you waiting for one to come in if you didn't send one out? I expect God's going to move so powerfully in my future. Amen. Absolutely. Have hope that the Lord is involved and is going to. Now, did you partner with him in the last season? Because if you're wanting God to move in this season, you might need to have partnered with him in the last season. You got to put a seed in the ground if you're expecting something to be harvested. Wag your heads at me. Come on, y'all. This is way too early for me to be working hard. All right. I have not had enough caffeine for this. Okay. Keep this heart posture, this idea in your mind, okay? I want you to hold that in the front of your mind as we process through the preaching today, is that we're wanting a different outcome than we currently have. That heaven invading earth looks different than where we have been. And I love all the progress and everything that's good that's taken place. Wonderful. You can keep all that. But there are probably some things that we need to change if we're going to keep seeing heaven manifested in the earth. Are you alive? Where are you at, Stevie? There he is. We got this. In the previous couple weeks, we've started laying foundations, right? One was this. The very first foundation was the idea that creativity and wisdom partner together, but what do they unlock for the believer? Anybody? What happens when you give birth to something? What is the attribute? There is a measure of rule, authority, that you now possess over that which you have created. And that the Lord, from the beginning, has been inviting his creation, people, to be co-creators with him and charged us with it's our job to extend the rule of heaven over the whole earth. And the Lord intends to do that through us. Jesus is enthroned, waiting for his enemies to be turned into a footstool. Who turns them into a footstool? Not a toadstool, a footstool. Whose job is that? Ours. Yeah? Our job. How do we, in authority, do that? You got to enter the creative process. This is literally one of the tools the Lord has given us to grow in authority, is to be co-creators. When you begin to do this, something gets unlocked in your life that is the divine nature. Genesis 1 clearly maps that out. Proverbs 8 says that wisdom and creativity partnered together to bring forth something. And so we know wisdom and creativity brings forth authority. We have that formula. That's very clear to us. The scripture is very clear about these things. But do you know what happened in the beginning? We've chatted about this a little bit. I want to illustrate it a little bit further, though. We have Adam and Eve in the garden have been given the image of God. They are co-creators with him, and they're charged with advancing the garden to cultivate and keep, to make the garden grow until it covers the face of the earth. That was the assignment. Cultivate the garden, line by line, tree by tree. Grow your family, be fruitful, multiply. Fill the earth. That's the job. Fill the earth by cultivating and having babies. But something takes place. Eve is tempted by Lucifer towards the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You remember this? Well, you probably don't remember. It was a long time ago. The serpent says to the woman, this is Genesis 3. If you got a Bible, you're welcome to follow along here. Genesis 3, verses 4 through 6. The serpent said to the woman, surely you're not going to die if you eat that fruit. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open. Everybody say, your eyes will be open. It means you're going to see differently. It means that they saw differently in the garden before the fruit. It's a different sermon. We'll get into it at some point. But the spirit realm was open to them before this. They were seeing. He knows that your eyes will be open, and you will become like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, awesome, looks good. Delight to the eyes, must have been bright and shiny, pretty fruit. And that the tree was desirable for what? For making one wise. Creativity and wisdom partner together in order to bring something forward and have authority. What takes place in this moment is that Lucifer tempts Adam and Eve to partner with a different kind of wisdom, not God, their own. Humanly wisdom, worldly wisdom, is not the same as godly wisdom. Yeah? God's ways are higher. We know like this. We think like this. But it goes beyond just the idea of he just thinks differently than us. No. No, there is a spirit to wisdom. There is content to wisdom. Earthly wisdom produces earthly results. Heavenly wisdom produces heaven on earth. And Adam and Eve were to partner with heavenly wisdom and see the garden grow. You got that. Yeah? All right, elbow your neighbor and go, you got this. You know this one. But did you know? Don't you know? Don't you know, Bobby? Don't you know that when Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, that was the day that creativity died? That was the day where heavenly creativity died. That was the moment. They ate of the tree, and producing heaven on earth is no longer available to them. Why do they got to leave the garden? Is it just for the tree of life? No, they put an angel there. Why do they got to leave the garden? Because they no longer can do the assignment. They can't make heaven advance on earth anymore. They can't do it. Why? Because they are no longer partnering with heavenly wisdom. They now are only working off their own. You got wonderful ideas, but you're not going to be able to produce heaven on earth on your own. Man, you are super awesome. Like, seriously, I like the fact that you think the way that you think. However, you're not going to be able to produce heaven on earth until you partner with the Spirit of God. And this, my friends, is your destiny. Something comes alive in you when you do this. If you've never had the privilege of partnering with heaven before, I'm telling you, this thing will radically transform your life. You will give up anything to do this because you realize this is who I'm made for. This is what I'm made to do. Adam and Eve eat the tree. Wisdom's gone from heaven. Now they have their own, and they're only going to create what they create. Until one day in humanity, God begins to speak with this guy named Moses. And he begins to talk to Moses about God's ways, the laws of heaven, the way that God rules. He begins to give Moses pictures of how to interact with them. Because remember, Adam and Eve had this interaction and this intimacy with the Father that they were able to draw wisdom from him and then co-create with him. But that connectedness is gone because of sin. Man's going their own way. They're not in that partnership anymore. God begins to talk to Moses and say, listen, we have to begin to reconnect humanity with my presence. But we talked about this also. What happens if somebody who is in sin, not holy, not walking in God's ways, comes into his presence? What happens? They die. This is a problem. Acts chapter 2, where it says God pours out his Spirit, that's a problem for humanity if something else hasn't changed. Exodus 31 says this. Exodus 31, starting in verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, see, I have called by name Bezalel. He's the son of Uri. He's the son of Hur. He's from the tribe of Judah. See, I've called him. I filled him with what? Spirit of God in wisdom. For what purpose? Right? Wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all kinds of craftsmanship. Keep going, please. To what? To create. This is the first Spirit-filled believer in the scriptures. This is what a Spirit-filled believer does. What do? They create. This is what we do. Spirit of wisdom comes upon him for the purpose of creating so humanity can interact with God. Worship is that entrance point. The worship system, the process, they begin to build a system that allows access to humanity, to God's presence. It's the spirit of wisdom that begins. God's spirit resting on a man in his craftsmanship, in the creating, he begins to craft and bring forth a place where God's presence can dwell and men can interact with God. What is that talking about? We're back in the garden already. We're back to God's trying to relate to humanity. But we know if you go into God's presence without holiness, you are dead. Three of you knew that. You're dead. You're dead. D-E-D. Dead. Dead. Dead, dead, dead. The normal expression of a Spirit-filled believer is to create. And they create an official system so that humanity can begin to interact with God in his ways. But the rules make it so that we are not able to invite all of humanity to. This is just like one dude at a time. Ladies, you're not allowed in there. Sorry. Guys, man, if you sweat it at all, you're dead. Right? You got to do the system. You got to do the thing. It's the religious process. And what's the religious process for? For interacting with God's presence. Fast forward just a moment. Just pause the sermon for a second for a slight commercial break. Y'all, the religious system served humanity and had purpose in it to allow people to interact with God's presence. But after Christ and what takes place in the new covenant, the religious system and those processes begin to stand in the way. The ultimate goal is not for everyone in the world to join a church service. Did you know that? You hear me talk about it all the time. We're not trying to put more butts in seats. That's not the point. We don't need butts in seats. We need two people to agree on earth as it is in heaven about what God's wanting to do. And the game's over, right? The religious system is not what we're trying to implement. We are in the business of connecting orphans with their father. We are in the business of helping those who are born in God's image to begin the process of co-creating with him. And does that need to take place in a church? Heck to the no. Does not. I don't need every nation to be in a church service. That's not what we need. We are looking for the Spirit of God inside people. So then they're putting their hands to the plow and they're doing the work of their lives. They begin to advance the Garden of Eden. They begin to grow wisdom, releasing heaven on earth. Oh, Jesus, help us. I don't know if you're ready for where I'm about to go. You're like, bring it. Do it. You hear me pray from the front quite often. Almost every service I'll pray. My opening prayer is something like this. Actually, we didn't pray. Let's do it. Or did we pray? I don't know. Whatever. Let's just do it again. It's like meals, right? Someone was gone from the table. You already prayed. Oh, I'm going to do it again. No, when we pray, almost every service I pray like this. Like, Lord, I pray that you would reveal to us, give us revelation, the knowledge of you, that we could see more, our hearts would be awakened, we'd be what? We'd be transformed on the inside. And then I turn and I pray this, Lord, I also am asking for what? A spirit of wisdom. For what purpose? So that we can transform the world around us. Okay. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus is what we need. All right, it's Ephesians 1:16. Paul literally prays this, okay? Revelation is what causes the will of heaven to be revealed to a person. Spirit of revelation, right? So God speaks and we hear it and something happens on the inside of you. When God shows you something new, when he reveals something, revelation reveals something, it was always there. It's not something new as in it created something new. It was always there. You just didn't see it before. And so he reveals it to you, and when he reveals it, it causes you to think differently about something. He showed you something new, and you go, oh, I never thought of it that way. Let me adjust my thinking so that I think differently. That process is called repentance. Repentance literally means to change one's mind. And so a spirit of revelation changes your mind, and so inwardly, you begin to think differently. You begin to form new thoughts, the way that you process information. It's all changed now because of revelation. But how many know your inward transformation does not automatically lead to the world around you being transformed. In fact, your inward transformation has to turn into something called action. And this is where wisdom comes in. That's what wisdom is knowing what to do. The spirit of wisdom unlocks your actions, and it unlocks them in a creative way. In other words, you'll do what heaven wants to do, and you'll see heaven invade earth. It's amazing. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. When the Lord reveals something to you, it's an invitation to act. I can't tell you how many times I have sat under a sermon, I've been impacted by it. I'm like, wow, that was so powerful. I think differently now. Like, God impacted my heart. And then I walk out the door of that service or my quiet time or whatever, and then I just go right back into the patterns of life that I was in before. How many times has revelation not led to action? I was having a quiet time one day, it's a true story, and the Holy Spirit just arrested my attention, and he said, son, every time I speak to you, I want you to create something afterwards. Every time I speak to you, every time there's revelation, every time your heart is impacted, you change the way you're thinking, I want you to do something creative. Like, Lord, what do you mean? Like, draw? Sure, you can draw. You can paint, you can sculpt, you can do anything in the creative process. I don't care, Lord said to me. It doesn't matter what it is. You can start a business. You can, whatever the creative process looks like for you, you can do anything. Draw, art, right? Write a song, write a poem, paint, invent something, build something, start a business, start a small group. Just do something. And it was a command to me. And so every time I have a quiet time, so I have a journal of like notes and then little doodles everywhere. Right? The process of creating, what does it do? You got to see it like this. When the Lord speaks, it's the word. And the word is like a seed. But right now that seed is just, it's in me. It's in a revelatory state. It's revelation. But what do seeds have to do? They got to be planted. In other words, you have to take what came to you conceptually as an idea or your imagination, whatever the Lord spoke to you, you have to take that and get it outside of you. That can happen by writing it down, journaling. That can happen by taking action. There's so many ways, but it has to go from the unseen realm into the seen realm. You got revelation, and now you must, in wisdom, do something. James said that the law, it's the perfect law of freedom. It's like a mirror, though. And the man who looks in that mirror but doesn't do anything is like somebody who looked at the reflection and walked away and forgot what they looked like. You actually become deceived in thinking that you are doing something by knowing something, but that's not true. You have to act, okay? So elbow your neighbor and say, you have to do actions. You gotta act, you gotta do something. For crying out loud, do something, do something. You want a creative miracle? You ever heard that phrase, a creative miracle? True story. Oh, yeah. I'm taking the sweater off. It's just a little warm up here. True story. I walk into a leaders meeting. I was facilitating a small group course. I don't want to get into details of that. But I walked into this leaders meeting, and there is a woman sitting there with a full brace on. Her name was Sue. I said, Sue, what happened to you? She's sitting next to me. And she said, oh, I had an accident at work and my shoulder got ripped out of socket. It's bad, right? And I'm in the pre-surgery thing, but it's never going to be the same because there's no blood flow. It's a problem. They got to rebuild my shoulder. Single mom, has to work, works in like a factory type setting. It's not good. She's got to be able to function. I said, oh, man, such a bummer. Listen, guys, we're going to pray for people tonight, and this is what we're going to do. right? I said, watch me. This is what we're going to do. And I said to Sue, I laid hands on her. I said, in Jesus' name, be healed, right? Now, Sue, stand up and do something. Do something you can't do. What are we doing? Okay, sometimes you hear someone say that. Do something you can't do. Test it. I'm not talking about testing. I'm saying activate the miracle. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that revelation has to have an action point. And so if you want a creative miracle, you're going to need a word of wisdom along with that thing. You're going to have to act. You're going to have to do something. Some of you are like, I'll change when God touches me. How about this? God touched you, and now you should change. Do something, and your life will change. Okay. When the Lord reveals something to you, you have to do something. There's this verse, Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, the Lord's speaking, he says, I'm doing something new. Everybody say the word new, new, doing something new. And then he makes a comment to the people that are listening, says, will you be aware of it? Will you be caught unaware? Are you so into your thing that you have no idea what the new thing is? Are you in a system or are you connected to him? Because when he changes directions, you know it. But when you're in a system, you have no idea what's going on. Thanks, Tad. I told you, you should be sitting right here and I can talk to you, man. We'll just sit down, on the stage, and we'll have a conversation. It'll be okay. Guys, the impact of the things we're talking about right now actually there's something that we're unraveling here that could lead to revolution in your life. God's doing a new thing. Can you say that with me? God's doing a new thing. Question for you, okay? I'm walking in a line, right? And so I'm taking steps forward. It's in a line. And I come to the buried treasure, right? The foundational stones. I come to them and now I have an opportunity. If I do the next thing, what do I do? Right? This is the next thing, and it's logical. It's a logical step. We're in process. We're in a system. We're walking forward, right? Walking with God, assumedly, and we're going to do something, right? And so I come to this, and if I say I'm going to do the next thing, then I'm just taking another step forward. But when the Lord says, behold, I'm doing a new thing, new things are not next things. Like, oh, it's really simplistic thinking. You're right. It's really simplistic thinking. I don't know why you didn't think it before. But God's not doing the next thing. He's doing something new. The next thing is how the world works. The next thing uses something called logic. It uses systematic thinking. AI is determining your next thing. It is not determining the new thing. The next thing is not always the God thing, y'all. And I know it makes perfect sense for the path that you're on to just take the next step. Right? Because it just makes sense. Like, let's just do the next thing. But I'm telling you, that is not the invitation. Because if it's just the next thing, you don't need God. You just keep walking forward. You don't need God. You don't even need the relationship. You just do the next thing. Just keep doing the next thing and you'll end up where you're supposed to go, right? That's not how it works. There is this fundamental thought concerning left brain and right brain. Anybody? Let me read something to you here, if I can find it. I don't even know if I put it in my notes. Oops. Here we go. Yeah? What'd you do with my notes, Victoria? Here we go. according to left brain, right brain dominance theory. Okay, it's theory. You know, they teach it. It can't be totally proven, but according to this theory, the right side of the brain is best at expressive and creative tasks. Some of the abilities that are popularly associated with right brain thinking is recognizing faces, expressing emotions, music and responding to music, reading of emotions, responding to emotions, color, sound, images, intuition, and creativity. These are all right brain thoughts. Left brain thinking is considered to be adept at tasks involving logic, language, analytical thinking. What's next? The left brain is often described as being better at the interpretation of language, logic, critical thinking, numbers, and reasoning. Now, if I asked you to draw a picture today and I said, I want you to draw me a picture of the wisest person on earth, what do they look like?
You.
Pfft, oh. Whoever said that, you win. Okay. It's so funny. Thank you for the joke. Good grief. And I'm glad for all of you laughing at it. I don't know which is funnier, right? No, if we, I mean, I feel like if we ask, let's just ask children, okay, what's a really wise person look like? Like, oh, do they have, what color hair do they have? Probably gray. Why? Why white hair or gray hair? Why? What does that mean? They've been through a lot. They've experienced a lot. They have a lot of life experience, and so they can give you advice concerning life experience. Right? Because interpreting past events and analyzing them to know what the next step is clearly wisdom. Or is it? No, that's the description of worldly wisdom. See, when they met Jesus at 12 years old, the priests were gathered around him at the temple, marveling. And they're like, whose parents? Who does this kid belong to? Right? Why? Because they are marveling at his wisdom. In other words, it wasn't age. But wisdom in the world is defined as analyzing and understanding previous expressions so that you know how to determine next things. But the Lord puts his Holy Spirit in you, the Spirit of wisdom. This is Matthew 9, I want to illustrate the fundamental difference between left brain and right brain thinking, okay? It's Matthew 9, starting verse 14. The disciples came to him and asking him, hey, why do the Pharisees fast? Or excuse me, the disciples of John came to him asking, why do the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't? Jesus said to them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken from them, and then they will fast. But no one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch is going to shrink, and it will pull away from the garment, and a worse tear will result. No, people put new wine, everyone say new wine, into new wineskins, okay? You do not put new wine into an old wineskin, otherwise the wineskin will burst and the wine will pour out. The wineskin will be ruined. You put new wine into a fresh wineskin so both are preserved. Okay, the structure in which you put new wine into has to be able to stretch. It has to be able to change. It has to be able to adapt. It has to be light on its feet. It needs to be able to adapt to circumstance. The new thing needs a new way of holding it. If you take the new thing and you put it in the old way of holding it, what will take place? The change, the transformation, the stretching, the pulling will destroy the old system. You know, hope, like when a person has hope, they're thinking about the possibility of something changing in the future. They have hope for it. Something new. That's what they have hope for. Something new. But the tendency of people is to enjoy that which is familiar. And so when we want comfort, we go to something familiar. To move forward towards something that is unfamiliar, that is stretching, that is changing, that is challenging, that's not where people go to when there's fear or when there's confusion or where they don't know what to do. And so where people end up when we desperately need something to change, what is the tendency of the human heart? It's to follow the path of the least resistance and go back to that which is familiar when we desperately need to do something different. When the world is raging, when their fear is rampant, people are looking for comfort, not creativity. We want the comfort of that which is already known and proven far more than we desire to engage wisdom and creativity. Creativity takes energy, far more energy than reversing back to an old pattern. Okay, church, what happens if the old wineskin is at its end and the old wine is running out? Well, you begin to see life dwindle from the old structures. You begin to watch as the old systems begin to fall apart or fail. Hey, do you know that our education system originally was born out of Christianity? It's the church that gave birth to the education system. The old schoolhouses used to be the church buildings, all the common ground. We've talked about this concerning movies. How about education? How about as you remove God out of the center of education, what begins to happen? The thing begins to crumble. What do you think is happening right now? You're watching the education system fail. It is worth pouring every resource we can into helping the next generation be educated and grow. It's worth it. We should invest in this. I am suggesting that we might want to reintroduce God to it. Right? Something crumbles when you pull God out of it. How about church? Isn't that the place where God lives? Well, if you go back to systems and the old wineskin's failing, what happens to the structures, the systems, that you begin to watch them fail? It's what we're happening right now. We need to go back to creativity, even though it's the last thing we want to do. We have to put new seed in the ground, even though it's the last thing you want to do. Don't you see we're starving? And the Lord goes, yep, sow the field. But I want to eat the seed, Lord. Sow the field. Invest towards the future. You're trying to consume for now. Think about the next generation. Stop thinking about yourself. Another simple truth. You guys okay? Yeah. We're getting someplace. We're going to get there. Don't worry. We're almost there. You can encourage your soul with these statements. We're almost there. Circling the landing field. Going to land soon. Put your tray tables up. Here's a very simple but profound truth, okay? This is Genesis 1. In the beginning, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, here's the simple truth. At the beginning of anything, it always starts with the work of creativity. If there is to be anything new, it's going to require a creator. It sounds so simple, but the path towards a new future starts with someone setting aside the old way of doing things and initiating something new. To go to a new place, you gotta let go of the old map. The future is being determined by the new ideas, creative people. Now, hear me. This is gonna be controversial. I know it is. Okay? Look at me for a second. See my smiling face. That was a nervous laugh. Okay. Our future is going to be determined by creating something new in contrast to trying to solve the old problems. There you go. There's the mixed review right there. But Pastor Jamie, aren't we called to fix the old system? Yep, there's a lot of energy we can put in the old system. Or we could invent something new. And from the beginning, just have it launch and take off. Okay? The future belongs to those who will plant something new, who will start something new. I know, because I've heard this so many times. As a church planter, the first couple of years of attendees, the people who are in our church, were all people discontented with their last church. And so they came here to our church to be a part of, right, either starting something new, which is wonderful, or they're here to get, forgive me if you said this to me, okay? But sometimes people would come to services and be like, Pastor, I'm here to get filled up so I can go back to my church and change it. I get the sentiment, I really do. You love those people, you love that place, and you want to see it. I totally, but it's not yours to change. It's not yours to change. So that idea of coming covertly and trying to overthrow whatever system was there, not a good plan. If we want something new, we got to start something new. Amen. Now, let's draw it all the way back. You guys ready? This is where your brain's got to get turned on, and we're about to land the plane, okay? It's a steep landing. It's a mountain range around us. There might be some turbulence on the way down. Turn your brains on. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He put man in the garden. Heaven on earth asked man to advance God's rule in the earth by cultivating, keeping in the garden, growing the garden, having kids. It's an inside job, not an outside job. Right, we walk with God, we grow it. I mean, the thing is, it's wonderful, it's beautiful. We know what happens, the fall, society moves forward, there's problems all around us. God sees the problems in humanity and wants redemption. He wants, the assignment has never changed. Adam and Eve still are required to turn the planet into a garden. Heaven on earth. It's predicted into the future. So we know this is where we're going. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. Remember that verse? New heaven, new earth. I think the assumption is the old one's just going to get like hit by an asteroid and dinosaurs are going to come back and eat us all and that'll be the end of it. Something like that, right? Some catastrophe, you know, I don't know how you're thinking. But new heaven and new earth requires the old one get destroyed. Is that what he did to you when he redeemed you? I don't know. I still got this same carcass, right? I got radically saved. Jesus renewed my life, but I'm still dealing with the frame. I'm in the middle of a redemption process, though. Yep. All things on earth as they are in heaven. God said I'm a new what? I'm a new creation. The old is gone and the... Okay, now you see where we're going. Okay, pause, think big picture. What's God doing right now? What's God doing in the planet? I'm going to read some verses for you. And I'm just going to read them. I'm not even going to make any comments. You're going to have to come up with your own conclusions. Ready? Here we go. Ezekiel 11. I'm going to give them one heart. I'm going to put a new spirit within them. I'm going to take the heart of stone out of their flesh, and I'm going to give them a heart of flesh, that they might walk in my statutes, they might keep my ordinances to do them, then they will be my people, and I will be their God. John 3, Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. 2 Peter 3, according to his promise, we are looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. In Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth had passed. I saw a holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, made ready for the bride, for her husband. I heard a loud voice saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. He'll dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. He'll wipe away every tear from their eye. There's no longer death, no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Write these words, for they are faithful and true. From the beginning, God has wanted earth and heaven to be unified. Those who are born again through the new covenant become children of God. Children of God are invited to partake in the divine nature as co-creators with the Lord. When we're born again, the Spirit of wisdom, the person of the Holy Spirit, dwells within us and anoints every believer. The same Spirit of God that anointed Bezalel to create a worship system that ushered heaven into earth also anoints us to do the same, to create so that God can dwell with man. The Lord is transforming the world. He does this by anointing his children with wisdom so that they might create and bring forth something new. We are inspired by the revelation. God reveals things from heaven, and through the Spirit of wisdom, we take action and bring forth something new. Heaven, seed into us. We take action, plant it. Result is heaven is being cultivated on earth. Every time you and I hear the Lord's voice and then we take action upon it, we give birth to another seed from heaven to bear fruit here on earth. And through the process of co-creating as children of God, his authority rests on us, and governance of heaven begins to be seen on earth. How important is it for you to activate creativity in your life? Well, if you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, this thing is real. Are you alive today? The world that you want to live in and that you want to hand to your kids and grandkids, that world might not be created yet. Maybe this generation, our responsibility is to look at that open field that's been created by inactivity in the world recently and start to plant things so that in the next 5 to 10 years, which is what has been prophesied, which is what the Lord's been talking to us about, we might see a massive harvest of souls. It will be, though, by us sowing into the future, not by consuming and trying to take advantage for ourselves. Amen. Just stand to your feet today. There you go. That was all for free. I really would love for you guys to participate this coming weekend at this event. It is not an information-oriented event. This is an activation, impartation type event. We're going to talk, we're going to share, but there's something that we as a community are to be activated in. It really matters. Just put a hand on your own heart this morning. Father, I thank you for each and every person that's in this room today. Every person that will listen to this sermon or express something in the future, Lord, by hearing. Lord, I thank you that you are with them, that you've been speaking to them, and I bless them. I bless this process. I speak to an awakening taking place, that every heart would be awakened unto divine purpose. I thank you, God, for inspired ideas, creative ideas, revelation from heaven. God, I bless the quiet times that each person has. Every time they go to their Bible, Lord, may the scriptures be unlocked in ways that revelation continues to flow. God, I pray that they would be inundated, just absolutely inundated by your voice. Every time they turn around, you're speaking to them about something. I pray the Holy Spirit, for a spirit of wisdom to rest on them, that you would utilize every action they take, Lord, based on that revelation. God, that major things would be given birth. God, we prophesy to the next season. We decree over it. Come on, church. I want you to join me in this right now. Okay, I want you to think of what you want to see happen in the next 5 years. This is not a name it, claim it. That's not what I'm saying. I want us to prophesy that the Lord will release creativity and wisdom that we might see the future transformed. Okay, so whatever's in your heart, there's things on your heart that you want to see transformed in the next season. I want you to prophesy to them today. So every voice out loud, whether it's your family or business, whatever it is, I want us to declare that the Lordship of Jesus would take place in that industry, in your life, in your family. Amen? All right, come on, every voice out loud. You can turn up Dan's, the keyboard there. And I want us to fill this atmosphere with prophesying right now. You're speaking to the next 5 years. Lord, we decree over it. Solutions will come to the family. God, we decree over it that this church is a divorceless church, that every marriage would thrive. We bless and decree over the finances of this church, Lord, over every family, that they would live in the prosperity of heaven. They'd be fully provided for, Lord, and that their dreams could come true, Lord. As they sow and they serve and they give, Lord, I pray that that would be an abundance to them. Father, I bless. We decree over our community that sickness and disease would be far from us, O Lord, that this would be an atmosphere of heavenly hope, Lord, for healing and restoration and deliverance in every kind. God, I thank you that revival and the reviving of a generation, O Lord, that would be stirring so deeply in every family, Lord, that the next generation would come to know you without any hindrance. Lord, we bless. I bless the Minnesota River Valley, O Lord, that it would be filled, souls and more souls, Lord. God, I prophesy to those 10 cities along the South River Valley, Lord, that there would be new churches being planted. There would be new businesses being planted, Lord. That the governments, oh Lord, would the local government, Lord, that there would be new officials set into office who have kingdom thinking. And Lord, those communities would thrive and would prosper in every way. Is anybody else alive here? I feel like I'm praying alone. Come on, church. We prophesy today. I declare over this community that they will walk in the purposes of God. We bless you today. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. You are in his image. May the Spirit of God anoint your life that you could see everything that's conceived in heart. You'd see it come to pass. God, I bless your people today. I bless your people today. Listen, if you came in here and you're far away from God, man, would you this morning just surrender your life to Jesus? He's got such significant plans for your life, but you got to invite him in. All you got to do is just invite him in. Lord, come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. I surrender to you, Jesus. Lord, I bless your people today. I bless your people today. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and grant you peace. I pray and decree these things today in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. And everybody who dared to agree with that said, can we give a good clap to the Lord today?
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. It's our hope that God touched your life in a truly meaningful way. And if you were impacted, please let us know by writing a review or share it with friends. If you'd like more information on The House Church, we would love to connect you with our community. Please visit us at ithehouse.org for more information. We'll see you next week.